Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But hey, speaking of what we were just talking about, my man Chris Lakos giving me some good scoop. UT, the Vols going to the Swoosh next year, abandoning Adidas.
Oh, are they? Okay. Wow. Yeah, they're not getting all those good Adidas recruits. They need to go to Nike.
They go to the Swoosh.
I guess that's across the board in all sports.
Yeah. Boy, and Adidas took good care of them.
I wonder if that's Rick Barnes coming in. Hey, we got to be a Nike school. I don't know if it matters so much in football. Although, yeah, I mean, Under Armour has a camp and Nike's got camp, so that probably isn't playing football, too.
I'll tell you, one of the good things about Under Armour and Adidas was they didn't make sporting goods equipment.
Like baseball bats? Is
Correct.
That what you're getting at, Jeff?
Correct.
They've got that Under Armour All-American game. Mm-hmm. I would think that those kids that are in Under Armour All-American games tend to not go to Nike schools, maybe.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, those schools. Like Auburn's a big Under Armour school. That's probably their most high-profile school. But they take, like, their coaches, they get good gear.
Yeah, Under Armour's an interesting company. I was reading about them, or maybe I saw something on, like, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. But, you know, the guys that founded them are just University of Maryland graduates. They're still pretty young, and it's a fledgling company. And they're battling, obviously, Nike. But there was that deal last year where they almost got Kevin Durant.
Yes.
And I think Nike just stepped up and paid him a bunch of money. But, you know, they're starting to crack and get into
–
I wanted to say South Carolina maybe is one, too. But Auburn, you're right.
South Carolina is, yes.
But, yeah, but that was a big deal with Auburn because it was, you know, all of a sudden they're in the national championship game a couple of years ago. So it was that was a big get for Under Armour.
And I think they made a good splash when they had, I guess it was E.J. Henderson who went to Maryland. They had the "We Must Protect This House" commercial. I mean, that hit big. And the thing, too, with Adidas, they're not really a – in any because 90% of their stuff, soccer stuff from Europe. I mean, that's where Adidas is king.
And tennis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because Adidas, I'd always heard, you know, they said all day I dream about soccer.
Or sports, or there was always something else too that the S could be.
Well, if your mind's not on it, it's wandering. So Adidas, you know, they're it's not a big deal to them that they're not number one in hoops or football because they are far and away the king of soccer. But yeah, I could see Nike kind of being like what you've always heard from what Apple or somebody. There's a nice little startup there, they'll just come in and crush them. And I could see Under Armour maybe worrying Nike a bit. But I know, like, my cohorts at Auburn and South Carolina, they always talk about they get good gear from Under Armour. So I think that they appreciate having those schools and they take good care of them.
Yeah, but they had a high profile game with Auburn getting to that national title game.
House.
Yeah, that E.J. Henderson commercial, too.
So the Vols go with Nike.
Vols are turning to the dark side. That means they'll be wearing ridiculous uniform concoctions, probably. I mean, they've already started.
You know what they'll come out with.
They were the smoky grays, which I actually liked, I'll have to admit.
They'll wear a checkerboard uniform.
Yeah, they will. Although, I think it's Adidas is the culprit of Notre Dame's uniforms, where they were wearing, a few years ago, they were wearing something that looked like West Virginia and Michigan's uniforms had mated and produced what Notre Dame was wearing in a game.
Those were brutal. I still think the worst, though, are the Steelers' Bumblebee.
Yeah.
It's like, I like the throwback stuff, but it's like, those are
They look
awful.
Ridiculous in that, and they wear those things like a couple of times a year, not just once.
Yeah, the Packers are bad, too.
Yeah, because they wear those from the old when they were just the Acme meat packing company.
But, you know, but now there are two teams that changed uniforms, and I love the old ones so much better. And frankly, a third, I like Tampa Bay's old uniforms. But New England and Denver, their old uniforms were far better than these futuristic ones that they wear now.
Yes, when New England breaks out the old one with John Hamm
like,
on
well,
the side,
yeah,
that beats Flying Elvis.
And then the orange Bronco jersey with the
blue helmet.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, it's far better. And the old Buccaneer.
I love the Buccaneer one, too, with the pirate with the sword in his mouth.
And you know what? You know who designed that? Just like the cartoonist at the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah.
It's like the good
stuff.
That's
probably they got tired of paying that guy.
Yeah, it's like it's just organic.
Yeah.
It's
we
like,
can't. That guy
hey,
can't
you do
get
a logo?
Royalty.
Sure. You like this? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Phil Knight's like, I need those royalties, not some cartoonist from the Tampa Tribune.
Hey, I'm only worth $20 billion. This guy's getting $10 every time that thing shows up. Squash him,
yeah.
too.
We'll just crush him. But, yeah, uniforms are – yeah, I know that's the one area where I'm definitely an old curmudgeon, I guess.
Well, I'm an old curmudgeon in most areas. But that would – and like we said, too, the I got to get you to Google something up first. But the best, though, were the old baseball unis of the late 70s and early 80s. It was so bad, they were good. And Tennessee, I don't know if you listen to the Sunday game up there. I think they do this every Sunday at home. They wear Astros-style unis. They've got the orange going across.
Well, those are coming back. There's like I think Indiana has some. I remember – I think
okay.
I
they played Florida State?
Yes.
Okay.
I think those are – those are like kind of coming back in vogue, and I love those old. Look like they looked like creamsicles.
Yeah, they were
the
so
Astros.
Bad. I can remember the girl I dated in the late '90s. She was like, "I go, those are the worst uniforms." She goes, "I like them. It looks like a rainbow."
In fact,
it's like, well, I go, so they're hot again. That's good to know.
When I play MLB The Show, I'm always if I do a franchise, I'm the Astros, just because every game I wear those uniforms.
Oh, that's beautiful. And what was the best too? Again, before everything was ruled with such an iron fist. Just the little things you remember as a kid. I mean, Jose Cruz cutting the sleeves.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Now you're, I mean, now it's like they've got uniform police where.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I guess I get it. By definition, it's a uniform, so they're supposed to
right.
look alike. But if you do anything to alter it in some way. Because I believe I was reading something today with the midriff.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't believe I'm blank. Ohio State's running back.
Oh, the kid, oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's going to win the Heisman Trophy
Ellington.
This year. Yeah, no.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott, yeah,
you
thank
go.
You. You know, he wore that where he had the, like, that was old. I mean, everyone in the 80s used to just have those, like, midriff showing.
Yeah,
yeah. You can't have that.
Can't do that.
Yeah, got to go. We don't need to see anyone's belly button anymore.
And the thing, too, like the Jose Cruz thing, I get it. If everybody did that, it would be bad. But it's like he was the only guy that did it.
Yeah.
That made it cool.
He looked cool.
And it was kind of like with the touchdown and end zone celebrations and all that. Everybody does it now. Act like you've been there. But like when Butch Johnson did it and when Deion did it and when you had the fun bunch.
Or Icky Woods.
It was great. It was organic. But then, of course, Herschel Walker just always handed the ball to the ref. I like that Gurley and Chubb were good about that, too. Gurley got that 115-yard penalty because he did the gator chomp. And then I didn't know spiking the ball was illegal.
Well, he spiked it, yeah.
I'm like, that's illegal?
I know, I didn't know that either.
To spike it?
We found that out, though.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's just like, I got here, yes. I mean, that's as non-taunting as anything.
I do love how opposing players get penalized for doing the gator
chomp,
but gator players do not.
I agree.
No, like Tim Tebow.
I mean, that's really something make that down when Coach Rick asked me for my list of 100 suggestions. I'm still waiting on that. But that'll be another thing. Listen, you need to tell the refs, like, all right, the second one of their players does it, you better flag
15 yards.
Them.
Yeah.
Because you've called us for it.
Well, what Georgia should do is do it to get penalized and then make that point.
Absolutely.
When Florida does it and doesn't.
So you better do it.
Jeff, let's start today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. It is finally starting to get warmer. So it is time to turn on the hot seat. It's like a two-part question here, Jeff. Is there a coach as obvious as Will Muschamp last year on the season's hot seat? And if not, whose would you say is the warmest?
Well, and last year you had both Muschamp and Brady Hoke. So, I mean, you had Florida and Michigan.
Yeah, Hoke, I forgot about him, but you're right.
Well, you had him on the hot seat the year before. I think you were the first.
Actually, Muschamp should have been canned the year before, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when they were getting smoked by Vandy and lost at home to Georgia Southern, he should have been fired.
They just delayed the inevitable for a year. But that was a situation where Jeremy Foley backed himself into a
right.
corner.
But you think about if they had fired him the year before, maybe they could have had Charlie Strong. Maybe they could have had James Franklin.
Yeah.
Instead, they ended up with Jim McElwain.
We'll see.
Yeah. Might be good, but I'm sitting here in Athens, he doesn't scare me.
I can tell you this, it's a much different reaction than the one I got when I lived in Statesboro and Steve Spurrier was hired, and the one I got 10 years ago when Urban Meyer was hired.
And one I would have had they hired Franklin or
Chip Kelly.
Or Charlie Strong. I can tell you who's on the hot seat. Next year, if the Eagles stink, it's every coach in college football except Meyer, Harbaugh, and Saban.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, those are the coaches on the hot seat if the Eagles stink next year, because he'll wear it with all the moves he's made this offseason.
You're right. And as we know in the SEC, I mean, really, you know, if any coach has a year like Auburn had 2 years ago, they're on the hot seat. Saban might be an exception there. So if you go 3-9 or something, I don't care what your contract says or the like, you're on the hot seat. I mean, it's the SEC. Life's there. But let's go through it. Notre Dame, no. Michigan, no. Ohio State, no. Penn State, no. USC, no. Texas. I still think if they have a bad year, he's not going to get fired. But there's going to be tremendous pressure to prove it by year three.
Yeah.
Coaches have been canned after 3 years.
If that happens a year from now, he'll be on it.
Yes,
yeah.
for sure. Oklahoma, no. I'm just thinking of the big schools. Nebraska, no. Boy, what an uninspiring hire that was. Yeah, so out of the major in the SEC, Butch, again, yeah, if you go 3-9, yeah. I mean, if Georgia goes 3-9, is Coach Rick? Yeah, absolutely. If Tennessee does, Butch Jones, absolutely. But, yeah, there's nothing nearly as obvious as Florida and Michigan.
So what if Georgia has like a – they're not 3-9, but they lose to Tech again?
Yeah, he's on the hot seat. If you go 6-6 and lose to Tech, absolutely.
What if we're like 9-3 with a loss to Tech and no SEC title game?
Big time. Big time. Can't lose to Tech.
Yeah.
You just can't. I mean, look, that's what cost Coach Donner his job in the end.
Basically, yeah.
Even though
two of those losses were cheated.
Yeah, we got cheated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what cost, you know, his last 4 years, he went 35-13. And let's remember, too, Coach Donner, who rebuilt the program, he came in this division. Florida and Tennessee were two of the top five programs in the nation at that point.
Mm-hmm. What about like Mark Stoops at Kentucky? I guess if we're talking about schools who have expectations beyond just bowl eligibility, maybe we should just stick with schools like that. But like I think Al Golden at Miami might be numero uno.
I got a good one from I don't know if he wants me to say his name, but Kevin Sumlin, if they have a bad year.
Yeah.
Because they've
– What would be
– from where he was peaking in Manziel, they went from, what, 11-2 to 9-4 to – what, they went 7
last
year?
Last year I think they won 7 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the year they got that big win over Auburn. Now, once Kyle Allen became their starting quarterback –
But they also, their expectations got ramped up when they blew out South Carolina. I mean, hey, they should have been number one in the country after that win. And here's the thing,
they were in one poll, this guy.
This one right here. But don't you think, too, Chris, that, you know, for their fans, it's like if that defense doesn't make a jump with Chavis this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, then we saw him score 2 years ago, 40 in every game, and still go 8-4, and ended up 9 wins because they beat Duke in that bowl game. But
again, that's life in the SEC. You can go from every coach is one great year away from having a statue erected in his honor and one bad year away from having a moving van parked in his front yard. It's funny. I brought that up with Miss Dooley one time. She goes, oh, gosh, I remember I was taking the kids to school one day, and they were hanging Vince and burning him in effigy.
Here's a guy that I wonder,
and he had won two SEC championships at that point.
Life in the SEC.
Yeah, it's what you, and you know what? I'll borrow a Don Draper line with the girl who was on the West Wing too, Elizabeth Moss. She goes, you could say thank you. That's what the money's for. I would gladly trade, Chris, you and I, right now, the scrutiny that Mark Richt and Les Miles and Nick Saban are under.
For the
we'll
paychecks.
Take the scrutiny for the four to how much is Saban making a year?
It's like $7 million now.
And, you know, really it's more than that because he's got the house, the country club, the life insurance, the cars.
He doesn't have payments.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's got nothing.
No.
So let's say after taxes, if you're banking, let's just say $4 million, and you don't have to make any payments.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that's just.
Just this $4 million sitting around. Yeah. He's got all his kids, though. He's got that one daughter that punch somebody out once. Probably has to pay some legal fees for that, I'm sure.
I would imagine there've been I've heard about that too I've heard a couple times coaches' daughters have hit guys that have made snide comments, cuz probably a coach's son, he's probably going to be tough.
Yeah, you're not going to mess, but the daughters are.
It's like, hey, your daddy's
little. Yeah, daddy's
Boom.
Little girl. Boom. Here's one between the eyes, buddy. I don't think this guy will be fired, but Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech will be interesting to watch. And the one image that I think is burned in all of our minds from him last year with his fist in the air after they were scoreless after regulation against Wake Forest and would go on to lose that game 6-0.
Yeah, I've got Coach Donnan just tweeted me Beamer. And that's an interesting one there because he really is Bill Dooley did a great job there. But that program, I mean, they were – horrible.
Yeah.
And he took them, back-to-back 11-1s. But now you kind of get, have they peaked? Do they need to make a move? Or it could be then they're also in a spot of like, boy, obviously at that place, there's no guarantee that the next guy is going to do any better. They're in a tough situation.
I think the thing is their next guy's Bud Foster.
Probably so.
He's been there forever, so they don't really have. But I there's at least going to have to be some sort of a discussion about maybe you're ready to go. But I don't think they'd fire him because he went to school there and he's
– No, and he's done so
basically
much
the face of their program.
He is. Mike London at Virginia.
Well, yeah, they re-upped – they thought he was going to get canned last year. They re-upped his contract. Then they went out and he lost to Virginia Tech.
You know, the fascinating guy, too, and I'm just telling you, and I get it. You get tired of losing the same way year after year. But the love-hate relationship with Les Miles at LSU is tremendous. And the fact, as we started pointing to a couple of years ago, really opened my eyes when they blew that Clemson game. Just some of the dumb stuff they did, kind of that the lucky gambler, in the end, the house always wins. And when you kind of become a caricature of yourself.
Yeah, which is what Miles has. He's the grass-eating, hat-wearing, quirky head coach that, will, right around National Signing Day, will always give a press conference and discuss, Columbus Day or St. Patrick's Day and get in all these quirky, or I guess Columbus Day is in October, but. It's President's Day is in February, but
you
get what I'm saying.
But the thing is, it's too, and what is, and listen, he's helped build it. It was first Saban and then him. The other thing with LSU, they also know the recruiting situation of that state. That job, in my opinion, is the best job in the SEC. Steve Spurrier thinks so. I think Georgia's the second best job in the league. And I think that the reason you'd give LSU the edge, that there is Tech in this state, and also just the proximity of the rivals to Georgia's borders. But, I mean, that LSU job is plum and sweet. I mean, if they got it, you start thinking, for all that Miles has done, you say, well who could have done more? The timing, if it's a week later or a week earlier, depending on which way you look at it, with Saban going to the Dolphins and Spurrier taking the South Carolina job, can you imagine if he'd have gotten that LSU job in 2005?
Spurrier?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, Miles is – and again, Miles inherited a much different program than Saban did, but he's done just as well there.
He has.
So.
But I still look at that and say, boy, that's a school that they could have a couple of more.
Well, yeah. The one year
that
is
was horrible,
the double jeopardy against Alabama.
But I do tell LSU fans, they tell, like, well, you got lucky in 2007.
With
though.
The two
you
losses.
You won one with two losses. But, I mean, but like some of those losses – like, they've blown those games to Bama two of the last 3 years. They had them.
Yeah, the last drive McCarron put together 2 years ago was one.
And then was this last year, too. Remember, Bama came down and tied it with a field goal.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't find a quarterback either.
No, and not Chavis has gone from their defense. They hired Kevin Steele, who is, apparently he's an ace recruiter. But the last time I saw him in charge of a defense was the Orange Bowl 3 years ago when – Clemson gave up 70 to West Virginia. So that's who's in charge of LSU's defense now on game day. But Saban liked him because he could recruit, I guess.
Yeah, he could get him players.
All right, Jeff, let's move on. Today's 5 at 5. We'll switch gears now and talk. You're not going to be here with us tomorrow because of the baseball game. Dogs will host Vandy.
Can I throw one more out there at you?
Yeah.
I think it's impossible that Derek Mason at Vanderbilt. I mean,
well, yeah, but is Vandy going to just after 2 years?
I don't know.
Or are they going to? I mean, are they going to realize
that
we're?
Did he fire his two coordinators?
Yes, he's got both. Offense and defense were both gone.
Yeah, I'm kind of part of that too. A lot of ADs are slow to admit their mistakes and they let it fester.
Well, that's the key. I mean, if you hired him, are you going to fire? Are you going to admit that I made a mistake just 2 years in? Yeah.
Which, again, usually that's the best thing to do.
Oh, of course it
you
is.
You know, just like anything in life. It's like, oh, geez, I screwed up.
It's like, you know, going back to Jeremy Foley and your ego there with Will Muschamp. Guy should have been fired before he left the field after they lost at home to Georgia Southern. I mean, walking off the field, he should have been fired.
Oh, that's where, listen, Georgia should have done the same thing after that loss to Vanderbilt in 1994. Georgia should have done the same thing in 1990 after going 10-13 over 2 years.
Right, but you think, well, it'll get fixed. And the reality is you can't make a decision based on, you know, one or two games. Like, even going back to, I think Dennis Felton would have been fired the year Georgia made that SEC tournament run. And even after they did, he still should have been fired. You can't change your view on him based on one weekend of work.
Well, you can take the "I think" out of the sentence you just had. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But he was out.
So all of a sudden, you go from there, and based on four crazy days, you change your mind.
Really, three for us.
Yeah, three crazy days. You know, you reverse course, and we got to keep him. Now he went to the NCAA tournament. No, you say, listen, what a heck of a note to go out on.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You could almost work it like, look, you can probably go get another job now.
Yeah.
So you need to go do that.
Right. And then we'll go ahead and get a guy and get it going. But instead, you end up like setting the program back still even a couple more years. And that's the position now Florida's probably in.
Well, and the thing too, Chris, when basketball, where it's so tough because of that early signing period, I mean, you it really hits you for two classes.
Yeah.
And I can remember like that next year, we opened up, we lost to Loyola at Purdue. Ooh, what a dank campus that is. And Loyola had lost to a Division II team like 4 days before. And we lost to him by like 9 points. And Coach Felton came over, and he just had this look on his face. It's like it was pretty easy to do the math.
Yeah.
It's like we couldn't beat a team that just lost to a D2 team. This is
and
over.
You're struggling against my job. Eastern Michigan. And
who in mid-February was 1-23.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see him connecting the dots and realizing – very soon here, I'm going to be fired.
Right. Again, look, talking to Florida, we'll see about Jim McElwain. But last year, if you can Will Muschamp before he gets back to the locker room after losing at home to Georgia Southern, you could have had Franklin. You could have had Charlie Strong. I mean, the market was different then for coaches than what existed this past year when the best you could get was the guy that was the head coach at Colorado State.
Yep.
Who might do great there.
He might.
We'll see. Jerry, what's your Final Four prediction? What's going to happen? Kentucky, Wisconsin, Duke, Michigan State.
I'm going to take the Cates by 4, Duke by 6, and then 85-80 Big Blue over Duke.
Okay. I like Wisconsin and Duke, and I guess I'm going to stick with Wisconsin. They were my pre-tournament team to win it, but I'm suddenly starting to think Duke is going to win this tournament.
Like
now.
We said, that the fact that they've been able to come under the radar, thanks to Virginia in the regular season and Notre Dame in the tournament.
Yeah, but that's the tournament sport. They don't win the regular season or the tournament
and
title.
They are.
Then they get to the NCAA tournament, and they're in the Final Four. They win the national championship, and at the end of the day, they had a better year than Virginia and Notre Dame. Even though Virginia and Notre Dame were better for like 3 months.
Right. Tournament sport.
Not like Duke was terrible. They were a 1 seed.
Right. No, I mean, they just happened to finish second.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny because Virginia ended up a 2 seed, and Notre Dame was, what, a 3? And Duke was the 1. But a year removed from losing to Mercer in the first round, maybe Duke gets back and cuts down the nets. They'll have to earn it this time, though, not like when they played Butler that 1 year. Although they had to earn it against Butler, didn't they?
Yeah, Butler, boy, that 3 almost went in from half court, didn't it?
Jeff, let's talk Georgia football here. We've discussed the quarterback situation and the battle there. I'm curious how you feel, though, after quarterback, what is the next most competitive position here this spring? And, you know, even moving forward into the summer.
Yeah, well, it looks like Isaiah Wynn settling in at center. That's great news there. And then that way you keep the two guards and two tackles in place. I would say those the two linebacker spots, and I read today, I think Seth Emerson, he's from Macon, right?
Yeah, he
tweeted out that they're working Natrez Patrick at inside linebacker and using a Michi sub at inside and outside. You got Jake Gaines coming in there too, Reggie Carter and Tim Kimbrough back, and you know a couple of highly touted freshmen who'll be coming in the fall as well. So I think that the battle for the two linebacker spots vacated by Wilson and Herrera.
Yeah, it seems like that's the...
It's good competition there. It makes you feel good.
And there's been a lot of guys like changing and moving to different places too there.
Trying to get the horses in the right spots.
Jeff, smoke starting to rise. Billy Donovan in an NBA return. Do you think he makes the jump this time, or does he stick it out and become a lifer at Florida?
I think he's thinking about it, but he should have done it a few years ago after he had won the two national titles. My best bet is that he stays at Florida. I do think if Kentucky goes undefeated, there's a very good chance that Calipari could go to the NBA.
If you're Donovan, would you take the Magic job now?
Does Dwight Howard still play for them?
No.
What about Shaq or Penny Hardaway?
They're all gone, too. And Hedo Turkoglu, he's gone.
You know, I don't have a good enough sense of how good they're recruiting and what kind of talent he's got coming in Florida. If I felt like I had a chance, I'd probably stay at this point because here's where he missed the boat. Had he taken the Magic job then, he probably could have come back to Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing with a college coach like Donovan. You might as well go and make the jump.
If you want to do it, yeah, he probably should do it.
Look at Lon Kruger.
And I'm trying to think for Billy. I see 1987 was right at 30 years. So he's probably about, 51, 52? I mean, he's still a pretty young guy.
Yeah, but he's one of those guys, though, that's older than he looks still, even though. He's Billy the Kid. Finally, Jeff, the big fight between Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, they announced today what the pay-per-view price would be for that, HBO and Showtime. It'll be $89.95.
Good gosh. Well, let's get 10 of us together. I'll chip in $10.
Would you pay for that?
If there were like 5-6 people.
Would that be if you had like, you know, 5 or 6 guys that said, let's watch the fight, would that be a fight you would want to watch?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any friends, so I mean, I'm probably going to be on the hook for $89.95 myself.
Are you trying to say I'm not your friend?
Well, yeah, but you know. I'm not allowed to socialize with you outside of work.
Linda put the kibosh on that after it.
When I used to come home I would be green.
Probably a wise decision.
I think I'm going to get that though. Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Well, can I at least come over to your house? Will Linda allow me over?
Yeah,
there?
She'll allow that. Yeah,
I'll take the dog out.
Yeah. In fact, she was going to have you over for Thanksgiving, but I think you were out of town anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. She was like, what's Jeff doing for Thanksgiving? I went, I think he's out of town. You were traveling with the lady dogs, I believe.
I can't even remember. They all run
I'm
together.
Pretty sure you were going to, like, they played, like, the day after Thanksgiving. You know how those schedules are.
Yeah, I know we played 2 days before. I can't remember. They all run together.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Pacquiao and Mayweather, $89.95. I think I'm going to do it.
Attaboy.
Yeah. All right, anyway, your 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system. A solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.